You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
One after another. I forgot. Came back. No idea.
That's the voice of Coach Carroll.
Hey,
Pete
up?
Carroll is with us for the first time in forever.
Where
good
you
morning,
guys been,
Coach.
Man? What do you guys do? You just climb
Hold
under,
on a minute.
Climb under the rock
You
or
guys locked yourself into a fortress of solitude after the season ended. Nobody heard from anybody in this building for like 2 months.
Well, that's not our fault. You guys got the shows.
What were you guys doing after this season? We didn't hear from you forever.
We've been working, man. We've been working the whole time. We're finally getting a little football with the pups coming in. It's really it's a nice time of the year for us. We've been working hard to get to this point.
We'll back up at some point and kind of get to how we got to today. But what does this mean to you, seeing the rookies come in for minicamp?
Well, it's really exciting. This might be the biggest group we've had. We got 70-something guys in here. And so we're going to have a really good look at what it feels like to have, you know, kind of full numbers and in the lines and stuff. So we get good reps and good turns, and we'll see where they fit in. Of course, we're really excited about the draft picks that we've seen, and there's a number of exciting free agent guys that we've acquired too. And then, of course, the story of the tryout guys. You know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? You know, so there's going to be some fun things to watch for.
Story or two over the month of April as things unfolded with some of these draft picks, where you're like, oh man, really, really hope we can get. If it's Shaquem or if it's the punter, just, you know, a little. I always love a little backstory.
So. Yeah, great. Well, the
and I know you love sharing
throughout.
Them.
You know, our process, we really do zero in on guys. We find guys that we want to fit to our club, and guys we think have a role that we can really manage. And so we're looking for guys through the draft, and it happens quite often. It's about John, you know, finding the right spot where you can get guys. And so we hit it pretty good again here with guys we want. You know, start right at the top. We really were excited about finding a running back. We want to see if we could find a guy. And there was a number in this class, so it was really it was loaded. It could have fallen a number of different ways. But really, I think you know, bringing in Rashad is going to be something that the fans are going to love. He's such a dynamic football player, young, healthy, strapping kid, and loves to play and is excited to be part of it and really humble and all. And really fast and explosive, as you guys have watched. That's fun. We were fortunate to get Rashim. You know, we didn't know that was going to happen. We thought he would go higher. But there was a little bit of issue about him that we've really had. John did great research on him, so he knew what we were getting.
The medical thing
that, you know, he had a knee injury like 3 years ago that was of concern, but he's played thousands of snaps with it, so we know that he's in good shape and ready to go with that one. Just on down the line, I mean, these guys, it was really fun. Disley was a big deal. We've been talking about the running game all offseason, and we thought that he was the best run blocker in the draft. Some guys might not have looked at him that way. We didn't care. We know what we saw, and so we bring him in with that thought, and just keep on going. You know, it's a really fun class.
So if I look at what you've done with the running game to try to improve it for this upcoming year, see three or four potential changes. What you did with the coaching staff, with both the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach. What you did at tight end, you let both Jimmy Graham and Luke Wilson go and end up drafting Will Disley and bringing in Dixon. And then what you do at the running back position with Rashad Penny. When you analyzed it during those couple of months we were talking about after the season, was that where you saw most of the problems with the running game in the past?
We needed to shift gears a bit, you know, to match up with the guys that we have here, and I thought that was part of it. We wanted to make sure and return to the emphasis because we know how it fits together. We see the formula, you know, and when we can also obviously see when it's not quite right and the balance isn't there. So we had to just do what we could, you know, and knowing that our offensive linemen were going to basically be back again, and we're going to be growing and we're going to be more experienced. We've got Dwayne for a whole season and an off season and all of that. That's a huge deal. He's a fantastic football player. Posick's getting better. Britt's going to just continue to improve. Fetty's going to get better, you know, and we know all the improvements are going to happen. We went out and went after DJ Fluker to get a big monster of a guy that could play inside. I thought that would be an area. So we really have at least touched into all of the crucial areas that could cause a bit of an adjustment. And I think we needed an infusion of new. I think we just needed to be new and fresh to go ahead and make the turn. But it isn't philosophically changing. It's really just changing kind of the insides of it.
This might be the dumbest question I've ever asked you, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
I think it sounds dumber than it actually is. I can't wait for this one.
How important is the running back to your running game?
Well, it's crucial. Yeah, the running back's ability to make things happen when things aren't quite right is kind of a, you know, it's an art, and some guys have it and some guys don't, and so That's just part of it, but also the explosiveness that to have a guy in there that can make a huge play out of a normal play with speed and vision and that kind of savvy that makes him unique. It's huge. So it's really hard to have a really dynamic running game without a dynamic running back or pair or trio. And so we think we have a really nice formula right here. Chris Carson is a guy we have been excited about since the moment we got him, and he looks incredible now in the off-season program. And we're still waiting to see if CJ can stay healthy and stay out there and do his thing, because we know that he's got great dynamics to him. And Mike Davis did a nice job for us last year when he was called to duty. So add Rashad to that, and let's see what happens. I think it would be a really exciting mix.
You said philosophically it won't change, and you want to be balanced. You always have been, not run first. I think you've educated us very well through the years. But how about just scheme-wise? With Mike coming in, with Schottenheimer coming in, will there be more variance in the run game? Will there be more elements in that run game?
Yeah, Mike does bring a little different variety, and we're still going to run zone plays, and they're still part of our offense. But Mike is a really good angle blocking background guy, and so he brings us the power. He brings us some G plays where we can get the ball on the edge, and we'll be able to catch up a little bit differently to just take advantage of our guys. I think that you're going to see some dynamics to our players, and you're going to see DJ as a monster of a guy at 350 something pounds right now. You're going to see Posick look different. Posick's probably 18 to 20 pounds heavier than he was a year ago. He looks fantastic.
Threw a
right
good
now.
First pitch last night, by the way.
Was that right?
Yeah, he threw out first pitch last night.
Did he bring it? Did he a little junk?
Pretty good.
Scrooge or something?
Pretty strike.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say strike.
Good.
Yeah, he
good.
Did look bigger though.
Well,
I don't
good,
think there was a question about
athlete.
That.
I like it. Anyway, so I just think that there's some elements to it. Yeah, that are going to be a little bit different. I think it'll be more subtle than maybe you would think for the fans watching, but it does give us variety. We'll alter our attack and do a few things we can do really to take advantage of Russell and his element as well. So there's some fun things.
Why
doing.
Was it those two? As you characterize Schottenheimer and Solari, we haven't had this chat, and I've obviously heard you speak about it, but why those two?
Brian has an extraordinary background. He's been through all kinds of stuff. The guy coming in here needed to be able to evaluate what we've done and take the best of the things that we've done and then add to it and tweak. We didn't want a wholesale change, and Brian had the background to understand all of that and also bring us newness and some freshness that we needed. He and Mike have a background together and great respect for one another. That communication is crucial. But what is different really in format right now is Shotty is really calling the shots. He's really he's the designer. He's the play caller. He's the quarterback coach. That I wanted to shift that if we could, and we did. And that's a little bit different because we had two guys really working it. They shared Tom and Daryl shared the leadership part of it, and so it's a little bit different in formula. I think it's going to be nice. It's been really fun to watch him take over. So I think it's the background, the diversity, and also the ability to kind of interpret what we've done and then take the best of it and translate it and move forward.
Is that a streamlining almost of the play calling process?
I think that what you're getting at is, yeah, in that he's in charge of the whole thing. Before we would share the run game and the pass game stuff, which worked great for us for years. But this format will just be a little bit different in that regard. The direction and the voice will be a little bit more precise.
You mentioned a freshness and a newness in the coaching staff. There's going to be some freshness and newness in the locker room as well. And a couple of the major figures in this locker room for the last half a decade or so or more have departed this offseason. How important was that freshness and newness to you?
It's good. It's a good. It's kind of just feels like it felt 4 or 5 years ago, and it's different already. You can tell. There's a great enthusiasm. There's a great juice about it. The opportunities for all of these guys is really clear. You don't come in here with guys that have been playing the same position for 5 or 6 years. It's hard to come in here and really think and hope that you're going to be able to beat those guys out. Well, that ain't what's going on right now. It's wide open competition the way we love it. And you can sense the energy about that.
Were you sad when you heard some of the things that Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman said on the way out the
well,
door?
No, I'm not sad. I'm not surprised, though.
It would have made me sad if I were you.
Well, no, it didn't. Because we've just been through so much, and I know where their head is at, and they're looking at stuff, and they can go from one moment to the next and see things a little bit differently. It can change for them. And they're battling. They're out there battling for their own sake. Yeah, it would be nice if they saw it differently. I see it differently than they saw it.
Do you feel like you went to bat for them a bunch of different times, and at the end they kind of bit you for it?
No, because they don't. That's not how they are. That's just the media thing. I know where their heart is.
It's how it feels. I
know that, but I know where their heart is. I know who they are.
So you think what they're saying publicly is not necessarily how they feel?
I know how they feel. I've been with them too much. There's no confusion there. It's disappointing that that's what has to come out, because you all have to deal with it. I'm not worried. I wish it wasn't that way, but I know where they're coming from. And we'll always be connected forever because of the time we spent together. Regardless of what they say, I'm not going to be that petty about it. It's they're battling on their own right now, and they're trying to figure out how to make it come together in this new setting that they're in. And it's difficult on them. It's a challenge for them too. They're trying to find their way. So as always, our kids always make mistakes, and they falter, and they don't quite pull it off like you like. And then you guide them and you help them, and so somewhere down the road, everything will be fine. I'm not worried.
My father-in-law likes to say life's about trade-offs. He's probably said that to me 100 different times in multitude of different ways, whether it's parenting or business or
obviously
otherwise.
You're not getting the point.
Life is about trade-offs. You know what? He hasn't said it as much the last 10 years. You're right. Maybe I learned something the first 15 with his daughter. But is some of that what Mike's referring to, just the trade-off of really emotional guys? You want emotional-driven, independent-thinking guys. And you know what? The trade-off of it is maybe at the end, they're going to continue to be emotional and continue to capture it the way they want it to.
Yeah, and I know their heart. They can't fool me. They can say whatever they want to say. I know where they're coming from, and I know what they mean, and I know what's behind what's going on. And they could say the same thing about me as well. So I'm not going to get into the petty part of that thing, because it'll go on by, and they'll go, things will change, and things will happen, and we'll see the real truth in the long term.
But I think you have said to us over the years that, the last year, maybe even the year before, you are always evolving. You don't just sit there and present the same messages. Especially when you had guys here as long as you did, that you have to make sure that it is fresh, that there is some newness to those guys.
Yeah, but you're responding to the fact that they're saying that something gets stale or whatever. They have a responsibility to stay fresh as well. They have a responsibility to see it new. They have a responsibility to keep making this a challenge for themselves. And somewhere in there, that's what I'm telling you. There's somewhere, of course I do. Shoot, yeah, man, I'm a teacher. I got to help these guys learn. I got to do whatever it takes to get that done and get the communication right. So we're constantly tweaking. We're constantly evolving. They need to do the same. And the freshness can come from both directions, or see you later. If it isn't the right place, go. You got to go. You're out of here. And so that's a point I don't mind making, but it was time for these guys to move on. And so obviously, you could hear it in them. So because there's 99% of these guys, or like right now, 100% of these guys, they're ready to rock and roll and go for it. And away we go. Competition never gets old. There's no staleness in that. You're battling, you're working your tail off to prove your point, to make your way. That never gets old. And so you can see it. It's at hand right now. It's going to be really fun to watch these guys come together.
Was 2017 a wake-up call for you in any way?
No, I was just disappointing. It's just disappointing that we weren't able. We had a really good club to put together, and we just couldn't keep it all healthy and keep it right. But most of all, we lost our balance in the darn running game again. It happened 2 years in a row, and that's why we spent so much focus to try to get it back in there. It isn't, like you said, and I appreciate you saying it, it isn't like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That's not what we're doing. It ain't ground chuck, however he used to explain that. To us, it's about balance, so that you can formulate your whole approach, and you make your opponents have to deal with all aspects of this game, and it feeds everything. And that feeds the throwing game, it feeds the pass protection, it feeds the defense, it feeds field position, all of the important things that make this game work.
If those field goals were made, I've gotten this question 100 different times from 100 different people. Those field goals are made against Washington, Arizona.
Really?
And you're an 11-5 team. Is all of this go down?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. I don't think my evaluations would change. My frustration is about what we're trying to, because it isn't about the 11-5. It's about how it happens and how it's going and all that. So I was frustrated throughout because, and I have been for a couple of years about this, because we can't see us in action the way we want to see us, and we're working at it. We're trying. We'll see if we can pull it off this time around.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. If it has been a couple of years, maybe it gave you some of the freedom to make some of the moves.
Okay.
We'll just leave it there. All right, let's go off the board for a minute. Brock and I were talking about this, and we like just kind of getting your opinion as a football guy. If you, who has the greatest NFL highlight reel in history?
And this was born out of what Scott Frost said to us this morning.
Scott Frost told us that Shaquem Griffin jumped 24 feet 10 inches in a long jump when he was in high school, which is obviously insane.
Yeah.
He did that in Florida.
Nebraska.
What he knew is that it tied the Nebraska record, which had been set by Gale Sayers. And we were wondering if Gale Sayers had the greatest highlight reel in history.
I could have set that up for you if you would have asked me, if you wouldn't have gone that far. I said Gale Sayers.
You think the greatest highlight reel, you could put together 15 plays?
There's two guys. It's Barry Sanders and Gale Sayers. Ooh. My favorite, though, is Gale Sayers. And I would have said it that way, but I'm not so sure that anybody can have a better highlight film than Barry Sanders.
How about Walter Payton?
But, he had great ones, too. But to me, Barry's crazy stuff that he did, but my favorite by far, and I got my picture, his picture on my wall for that, you know, Gale's up there because he's been my all-time favorite.
That's cool. We asked on Twitter. There were a lot of interesting responses from Randy Moss to Michael Vick to Marshawn to Cam Chancellor, Ronnie Lott. I mean, you start putting together highlight reels. There's some pretty good ones in NFL history. Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. How about a coach on the other side who had pretty good highlight reels? Certainly his teammates did, Kenny Norton. So we talk about the offensive side, but you also make change there with the voice defensively. And Ken Norton, I'm excited to watch him coach this weekend. And you know, he went away, and I'm probably got valuable experience learning on the fly away from kind of home and you and coming back. What is he going to bring to you defensively?
I'm so thrilled to have him back. You know, Kenny, since the years we worked together at San Francisco when he was a pain in the butt for me, you know, when I was coaching him, till the times that we kind of raised him up from a graduate assistant on throughout the ranks at SC and here, once we got together, I mean, I just loved the guy and loved his energy and loved what he brings to the players. He brings a mentality and an outlook that is so unique. And, I mean, he's a unique, extraordinary character. And something I said to him years ago, we were standing in the parking lot where the network was set up years ago. And I had done an interview, and then I called him out and said, "Hey, have you ever thought about doing any coaching, you know?" And I said it to him in the first conversation, "Ken, I don't want you to ever be any different than you've been as a player. I just want you to be the exact same guy you've always been. And if you do that, you're going to have a marvelous career. I'm going to love it." And it just came through from my observation. He's one of my favorite guys to work with ever because of the energy, the character, the competitiveness, the mentality that he brings. And he said it too a long time ago. He said, "Well, all I really want to do in coaching is I just like to help guys experience what I got." You know, and that's kind of what he's done. And in that, he makes a connection that's just it's just unique. And so I'm just thrilled to have him back. I'm really happy for the players because he just has a way about him he's one of a kind.
Coach, how do you feel about having Shaquem Griffin here?
I love that he's here. I love that he's here because he's everything we've ever talked about. He is grit, competitive, tough, chip on the shoulder, something to prove. He's all of that. And he has really overcome so much stuff, and more even than all of that you know on the outside. There's more stuff that in his story that's remarkable, that he's got something to prove. That that's like, I like battling with him. That's it. You know, like you can be on my team anytime. You know, let's go.
The program need an infusion of that?
Everybody does. We can never have enough of that. We never have enough competitiveness in the feisty and the aggressive and the chip on the shoulder. Shoot, yeah, man.
You try to teach competitiveness, right? And you try to teach grit and all that. I had a scenario the other day in my own personal life that it made me think of you a little bit. My daughter is 6. She is not the world's greatest athlete. That's not her strength. She's a little more of an intellectual right now than an athlete. And she was out scooter racing with her younger sister. She beat her younger sister in a race. And she yelled, "I won, I won, I won." And then she started taunting her with the little kid nan-nan and boo-boo thing, right? And my younger daughter is so upset. She comes back into the house and she's crying. And Avery did this. So I tried to talk to Avery about it later. And I'm trying to find how do you walk that line between happy you won and excited to beat somebody else in the competition that's important without taunting them when it's all said and done and being a poor sport?
Well, it does go back to understanding what you're competing for, you know, and if you're competing to beat somebody, that's one thing. Our conversations and our teachings all go back to competing is striving to be your best. And so if... you know, if your younger daughter did a great job of doing the best she could, but she didn't win, that's all you could hope for. And so an understanding of that, we're constantly trying to teach the regard that takes to understand that. And knowing what you're competing for really is the essence of that. So it goes back to the lessons before it ever happens. Yeah, that's a good illustration for you. You got to back up and ensure, you know, it isn't about to me. This is it. I think if it gets back to beating somebody and rubbing her nose in the dirt, I think that's you're on the wrong track and you're not on course to find your best. You know, everything's related to somebody else. So it really goes back to relating to your own experience, your own accomplishment.
You want to come talk to the 8-year-old baseball team? So,
I'm going to bring Pete out to my house, talk to my kids, and talk to your baseball team.
Bring him on.
I'll
cook for you.
You do that for free, right? You don't get paid to do that, dude.
Hey, can we shift gears just a few last minutes here? Because I know you got to run too. But Earl, where are we at with Earl Thomas as he sits here today and so much conversation?
We're lucky to have him on our team. He's a terrific football player. He's in really the prime of his career, and we're lucky that he's here with us and have been to watch him grow and become the player that he is, you know, and that's it. That's it. He's never not been a Seahawk. That's it. You know, all the other talk and all the other conversation, all the whatever, you know, it had nothing to do with anything. He's been under contract and with us the whole time, and he's wanted to be here the whole time. There was that that thing that happened that when we beat Dallas, he did what Avery did. You know, you think he went over to the other locker room because he was so humble and all that? He was freaking jacked to beat the Cowboys, and he went over there to strut his stuff a little bit and got himself in a situation where, you know, I talked to him minutes after that happened. Somebody came and told me, and he said, "What? I didn't do that. I didn't mean, you know," he had no intention of that coming up, but it started kind of a furor, and that's just the media and all that. So we're expecting them to have a great season.
Are we close to a decision on either Cam Chancellor or Cliff Averill?
It's coming up. Yeah, I think June is the month for some evaluations here. We'll see what happens. Sorry, Kent. I got nothing else for you.
Totally understand.
It's been a long time saying the same thing.
When we get out here later this weekend, get a chance to watch these guys, what will pop about Rashad Penny? I mean, he's the first pick that you guys made in this draft. What should pop there?
Oh, boy, he's really fast, and he's very instinctive. He's very smooth. He's really he's silky the way he runs, you know, and he's got this this sense of how to burst that has been just extraordinarily valuable to him in the return game. He is, you know, he's got a way of feeling things, and then when he hits it, he hits it, and he's strong enough, he's big enough, and he's played almost 230 pounds before, that he's strong enough that he just rolls right through tackles. You know, he goes right through stuff and doesn't break stride. So he's had a ton of big plays in him and a ton of tough runs and all that, of course, but he's got a real sense about him. I love that he's strong as hell. He's really healthy, he's really fast, and he's really humble. I mean, he's got a lot of really nice attributes to him that we're excited about. And he can catch the football. He's got good hands, too. So,
is there a little line to walk on humility? Because we've heard you say that to a couple of the guys. We heard you say it to Shaquem in the immediate call right afterwards. Be humble now, be humble. Is there a line to walk between being humble but also being confident enough to go out there and want your...
I think humility is good, you know, kind of losing its way a little bit around us, you know, in the world. And I think we could all do a lot better job of understanding, you know, how to be respectful and kind of our situations and our opportunities and the people around us and all of that. We always talk about humility, but it doesn't always set. And you've seen some examples over the years. We haven't done a great job of being humble, you know. So as we start our teaching and all that and start the process, I mean, you couldn't have got a better example of it. And I'm not so sure Keem really listened to what I said, because he came around and thought I'm going to be the greatest ever, whatever he said, you know. He didn't quite get it. But, I was teaching right off the bat and trying to – and we have – we captured him at this point right now. We'll see if we can hold on to it.
How was yesterday with WeDay here in Seattle?
Oh, it was awesome again. What a great WeDay has been so on point, and we, as we've just seen in recent months with the whole Parkland experience, which has been so impacting with young people kind of stepping to the front and seeing the power and the tremendous value that youth have for our future. WeDay is all about that. That's what it is, you know. Gosh, if we could figure out a way to harness this sense that the young people have for doing things right, they're not tainted. They're not, they haven't fell into the I've got to get a job and I've got to make money and then the money thing becomes part of it. They're just pure and raw and beautifully talented and powerful. And WeDay is a great illustration of all that.
That's why your team went young. You got a young team. You got 70 of them, the biggest class you ever had, right here.
Yeah.
And you get to shape and mold them all. Is training camp going to look any different? Any tweaks to training camp from a competition or physicality or anything new coming?
Well, you know, I'm more than ever, I've realized that there has been a big impact from the whole CBA, the whole approach to the game and how things have gone. And we've got to get back to ball, man. We've got to make sure that we can recapture what this game is all about, because so much of the time I just came out of the first meeting with our young guys here to try and mold them into how we can practice within the guidelines. Mm-hmm. And it's not just going for it and competing and battling. There's so many restrictions that when we finally get clear after the first couple of days of practice that we can start practicing this game, man, we got to hit it and we got to be on it. And that's why our health is so important too, because we only have there's 12 days before the first game or whatever the heck it is, you know, and we're playing football. So it's an out of balance approach that we're dealing with, and I can really sense it. So this camp, I'm going to try to recapture it as best we can to get back to the classic elements of this game that are so important: hard work, tough, physical, endure, team, all of the real basics of it. I just hope that we can recapture it, and we're setting the stage for it.
Awesome.
This is fun. Thanks, yeah. Coach.
Good to see you guys.
It was nice to catch up and hear where you're at and where your team is at. I think there's kind of a different kind of excitement
right now.
Don't
leave us for 4 months next year.
Yeah, really. What's hibernation been like? It's going to be fun. And I know that there's people are wondering how it's going to go. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be jacked up. We're going to be really talented. We're going to be fast. We're going to be together. I think it's going to be really fun.
Coach, we appreciate it. Right. Enjoy rookie minicamp this weekend. We'll be back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Until then.
Barn.
Gotcha.
See you, everybody.